guide for anything that you want to do. Maybe it's from cooking to home improvement to weight loss. Whatever your interest, whatever your desire to accomplish, you can find numerous guides to show you how to get it done. And the purpose of a how-to guide is to make that task simple. No one's going to buy a book telling you how to do something if it complicates things. It makes it difficult and harder to do what you want to do. And so, on the other hand, authors will advertise about how easy their book makes it be to get done what you want to do. And so, many times you'll see that plastered on that book. This morning I want to look with you at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17, because I believe Paul has a good how-to guide here on how to be a Gentile. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me, beginning verse 17, and you can keep your Bibles there because we're going to refer to it throughout this lesson as we look at this guide on how to be a Gentile. I see five things here that Paul catalogs for us as how Gentiles live, and obviously we don't want to be a Gentile, but the study this morning will help us to avoid these characteristics in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here Paul gives us a great catalog listing of how to live if you want to be a Gentile. Let's study that this morning, but before we can, we have to look at what he means when he says Gentile. He's not referring to anyone who is not a Jew as being someone who is terribly wicked and evil. That's how the Jews of the day might have thought it, that anybody who wasn't a Jew was a Gentile and was bad and was a heathen. And didn't love God and didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. No. Notice what Paul says here. He says that we should not be like the rest of the Gentiles. Paul's talking about the Gentiles who have not submitted to God in faith, who have not submitted to his will for them. He's saying those are the heathens that you need to avoid being like. And he's saying these Christians had been like that. He says you should no longer walk like those heathens. And then he goes on to list the things that they do. So how does a Gentile live? How could we be like the Gentiles if we're not careful? Five things, five steps, five ways you could be a Gentile that Paul lists here. First one is do what makes sense to you. Notice verse 18 or verse 17 again. These people walked in the futility of their mind. These people were walking in the futility of their mind. They were living in a way that was dictated and directed by what they thought. They walked in the futility of their mind. How many people in the world today are living their lives this way? How many people in the world do you come in contact with at the office or in the neighborhood or at the Little League who are walking this way in their lives? They're being directed in their lives by their thoughts, the futility of their mind. They say things like, well, I think this is right or this is wrong. I'm of the opinion that we ought to live this way or that way. It seems to me, and it just doesn't make any sense to me that what the Bible says would be what I need to do. They're letting their thoughts, their opinions, their emotions be their guide. It goes so far as the Presbyterian Church just around the corner from us this week on their marquee, on their sign. It says, let your heart be your guide. This is the predominant thought of the world, that you just live by what makes sense to you, what your thoughts are. Notice some other people that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 19, who were walking in the futility of their mind. They were doing what their mind dictated. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. These people who began to be led by their futile thoughts. They were walking according to their thoughts and their ideas and their think-sos. And notice the characteristics that Paul mentions of these people in Romans chapter 1. They were, it says here, they didn't glorify God. They didn't realize who God was. They didn't magnify him and put him on his throne that he deserves. They weren't thankful. They weren't thankful for all that he had done. And then the last part of this passage we looked at in verse 22, professing to be wise. They had an inflated view of themselves, didn't they? They thought they knew more than they did. They thought they could figure it out for themselves. In short, they were proud. And so they were being led in their lives by the futility of their mind. And notice what Paul says. He says they're fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because they were following this path of futility. And why is it futility? Why is it futility to be led this way? Be led by my thoughts, by my emotions, by my think-sos. These people were fools for thinking this. They were futile in their past because their minds were not capable of leading them. Their minds were not capable of figuring it out by themselves. Their minds were not a reliable guide. And when they think that, when anyone thinks that, it is utter and complete futility. Mark read for us in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that men cannot direct their own steps. We need God for that, not us. We're not capable of doing it. It's futility. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, Solomon put it like this: there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It's so critical that we understand this. In fact, Solomon mentions it twice in the book of Proverbs, that it's going to seem right to you to do this. And if you do it, you're walking into the devil's trap. You cannot do it. It's futility. The Gentiles that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4 were walking in the futility of their mind. We cannot let our thoughts be our guide. That's how the heathen Gentiles live their lives. And their folly is evident. But I want to tell you that we have to be careful as Christians as well. There are so many Christians who do the same things, who walk in the futility of their mind. Now, they acknowledge that the scriptures are our guide. This is what we need to be living by. But when the scriptures teach something that's uncomfortable, or that's going to cause maybe a conflict with the way I want to live and how it says I should live, it's going to require a sacrifice, then Christians begin to walk in the futility of their mind. Well, you know, I'm of the opinion that that's not necessarily how we ought to live. That's what it says, but it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that's right. You see how easy it is to begin to walk like the Gentiles? Let me remind you, your mind isn't capable of leading you. Your mind, as brilliant as it may be, cannot figure it out for yourself. Your mind, as trustworthy as you think it might be, is not a good guide. Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. They do what makes sense to them. And if we have this attitude, we are on our way to being a Gentile. And Paul says, be careful. The second thing that we need to do if we want to be a Gentile is to avoid the study of God's word. Notice verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Their understanding was darkened. They were ignorant. They did not know God's will. And this isn't because God's will was hidden. No, God has revealed his will. They just had not accessed that. They had not given themselves to understanding what that is. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has, by his divine power, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. God's given it to us. It's not hidden. It's not like you have to climb some steep mountain to speak to some guru who has the secret. It's not like you have to search in some type of ancient tomb to find some type of hidden document that tells you what God wants you to do. No, God has revealed it to us. The Gentiles had it, but they did not allow themselves to benefit from it. And it wasn't written in some type of way that is mysterious. It wasn't in some kind of riddle. You know, we see that in movies and on television shows, don't we, where the person's trying to find the ancient buried treasure, and they've got the clues, but they're in some type of code. You got to have the decoder to figure it out. And the sun's got to shine in a shadow in a certain way, and it'll illuminate. No, it's not in some type of riddle. It is easy to understand in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, later in this book, Paul said, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." God has commanded each and every one of us to understand the will of the Lord. And you know what that tells me? That tells me if God told me to do it, I can do it. God hasn't told us to understand something that's not understandable. In fact, he revealed his will to us in a way that is understandable. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says this about his writing. "How that by revelation God made known to me the mystery, as I've written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul says, when things were revealed to me, I wrote them. I was instructed to write them in such a way that when you read them, you can understand them. The Gentiles could have understood God's will for them if they'd wanted to. The problem was them, wasn't it? They hadn't appreciated what they had. They hadn't applied themselves to understanding God's will. And as a result, it says here that they had their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. I'm convinced that these Gentiles and many people today are in that condition because they did not appreciate the Bible for what it was. They did not have the attitude that Paul had about the Bible in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul says, "We've got it right here, and I'm not ashamed of it." And brethren, we've got it right here. And we need to avail ourselves to what a blessing it is and study it and learn it so that we will not be like the Gentiles. And many times I'm afraid, though, that we are like the Gentiles. We have God's instructions. We know they are what will save us, but we don't read them. We're too busy. We're too tired. We're not interested. There's something more engaging on the internet or in the movies or on television. There's something more easy to get engaged in than trying to study God's word, and so we just let it slide. I'm going to tell you, when we do that, we're on our way to becoming a Gentile. Number three on how to become a Gentile: ignore clear teaching. Look at verse 18 again. Look at 18. It says, "They were in this state because of the blindness of their heart." God's revelation is out there for all, but they hadn't seen it because they were blind. Because of the blindness of heart. They could have seen it, but they didn't. They were like the people of Jesus' day in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus says this about the people that he was encountering: "For their heart, the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." They had closed their eyes. They had stopped up their ears. They didn't want to see the teaching that Jesus had come and was personally teaching them. Jesus didn't teach what they wanted to hear. And they had shut their eyes and closed their ears. And heathens and Gentiles everywhere have this approach. Sure, if it's something that they want to hear, they'll gladly receive it. But if it isn't pleasant, if it isn't comfortable, if it requires anything from them, nah, we don't want to hear that. They were in this condition because of the blindness of their heart. They had ignored clear teaching. And you probably have witnessed this in action, haven't you? Maybe you present the clear teachings of God's word to someone, and the person just simply ignores it. It's clear, and the person can understand it and see it, but they just ignore it. When the time comes for putting the teaching into action, they just pass over it and don't act. Maybe they acknowledge what you've said and say that that's true, that's what I need to do, but then they deny putting it into practice. Or they ignore putting it into practice. Or maybe excuse away why they shouldn't do what the scriptures teach. Paul warned about that. And he warned that it is a possibility for Christians to be like this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 3. 2 Timothy 4, beginning of verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Paul says there's going to be coming a time, even for Christians, sadly, where they're just not going to endure those teachings of sound doctrine. They're going to try and find somebody that'll preach it the way that they want to have it preached, because they're going to close their eyes. They're going to stop up their ears to the truth. Maybe you've seen it in action with Christians as well, where we're happy for the preacher to preach on topics that we all agree on, or topics that make us feel good. But when he starts to preach about things that are going to require change in our life, we get mad. How dare he talk about that? He's just trying to be a troublemaker. You see, when the kind of time comes for us to hear things that are difficult, we don't want to hear them. We're going to be like the Gentiles many times. Gentiles ignore this clear teaching. And brethren, when we ignore or excuse away clear teaching, or even delay in responding and acting to clear teaching, we're on our way to being a Gentile. Number four on Paul's list this morning: you want to be a Gentile, you step on your conscience long enough to deaden it. If you want to be a Gentile, you step on your conscience and long enough that you can deaden it. Look at verse 19. It says these people were past feeling. They had known God's will. They had seen what they needed to do, and yet they had stepped on their conscience so long that it wasn't working anymore. You know, our conscience is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing that God has given us, but God has warned us very clearly that it can be abused so long that it doesn't work anymore. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Notice what Paul says. These people were speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These people that Paul is writing about here had a conscience that was calloused. It was calloused. How do we callous our conscience? By doing something against it over and over and over again so that it stops working. You ever develop calluses on your hands? Maybe you pick up a tool that you haven't used before, or you haven't used in a long time, and it rubs your hand a certain way that it hurts. But you know what you can do? You can keep using that tool. And eventually you'll develop calluses and you won't feel it anymore. So it is with our conscience. Our conscience is that way as well. When we do something we know we shouldn't, it pricks us and it pangs us and it hurts. But if we keep doing it and doing it and doing it, we'll become past feeling like the Gentiles. Paul talks about our conscience being defiled in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. You see, I can step all over my conscience in such a way that it just says, I'm done. And it checks out, and it doesn't bother me anymore when I do those same things. It's a danger. It's a danger for us. Each and every one of us needs to realize the danger that's here. When we know what we need to do and we don't do it, we're hurting our conscience. And the scriptures are clear. Our conscience aren't going to work forever if we abuse them. Our conscience will sear. Our conscience will become defiled. And I want to tell you that that can happen sooner than you'd like. Sooner than you might think, your conscience can stop plaguing you, and you can be on your way to being a Gentile. And then finally, this morning, number 5 on Paul's list of ways to be a Gentile, you just need to fulfill your fleshly desires. After you've done steps 1 through 4, after you've just started doing what makes sense to you, after you've ignored the study of God's word, after you've ignored clear teaching from the Bible and you've started stepping on your conscience in such a way that you could become past feeling, notice verse 19. They've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They've gone all in at this point, haven't they? They've just gone all in. Whatever makes them feel good, whatever they want to do, they're just doing it. They've given themselves over to that. You know, the world has this approach to how they want to live their lives because the devil is so effective at selling the lie that you ought to be able to do what you want to do. No one should be able to tell you what to do. You ought to do what feels good, what makes you happy, just do it. If it's what you want to do, if it's what makes you feel good, if you think it will fulfill you, go for it, do it. Don't listen to what you've been told. Don't listen to what the Bible says. Don't listen to your conscience. Don't worry about it. Just go for it. Just gratify the flesh. This is one of Satan's oldest tactics. It's one of his oldest selling ideas here. To sell sin is just do what feels good. Back in Genesis chapter 3, in the first sin, that's what he sold Eve, and she bought it. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God said some things here. Don't do that just because he doesn't want you to be happy, Eve. Eat the tree. It'll be good. It'll make you happy. It'll make everything wonderful. Do it. Go for it, Eve. He sold it to Eve. He's selling it to people today. The world around us is still buying the lie that if it feels good, I ought to be able to do it. If I have the desire, why not? And we can buy that as well. Look back at the sins that Paul outlines in verse 19. Look what he says here. They've given themselves over to lewdness, sexual sins, sexual gratification. They've given themselves over. Why not? It's what my flesh wants. Why not? Uncleanness, no respect for God's way of living, living in any way that they want to live. They've given themselves over to greediness, seeking the material over the spiritual. And sadly, many Christians are forsaking the life that God has prescribed for these type of activities. And when we do, we're on our way to being a Gentile. How do you be a Gentile? Paul gives you 5 ways here in this passage. 5 ways that we need to avoid. At all costs, make sure that we're not guilty of any one of these, because it will help us to be a Gentile heathen, someone who's estranged from God. Just do what you make sense to you. Ignore God's word, ignore clear teaching when you're presented with it. Step on your conscience and fulfill your fleshly desires. You may be thinking this morning, yeah, that's exactly how the Gentiles live, but I'm thankful I'm not one of them. I want to tell you this morning, it's very easy to be a Gentile. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. If we just walk through this life carefree, not being diligent about our spiritual life and our spiritual well-being, we will fall into the traps that Paul outlines for us here. We need to all be on guard. We all need to be diligent to make sure that we're living a life that's pleasing to God. What about you this morning? Are you living like a Gentile? Maybe you thought you were. Maybe if you step back and do some self-evaluation, you realize that maybe you are falling prey to some of these traps. If there's anything that we can do to help you spiritually this morning, will you let us know while we stand and sing?